It was a sweltering Christmas Eve Eve in Chicago, and I was packing up the office for the end of the season. I had a fruitcake and a cranky mother waiting for me in Wisconsin, and I couldn't be late for either of them. When you're a private eye, time is always important. When you have a picky mother, even more so. The eye painted on the door stared down at me as I put away the meager decorations of my less-than-festive office. Desk lamp, package of cigarettes, signed Justin Timberlake photo. I'll never forget the message. Hunter, you'll always be mine. Of course I don't swing that way. It was just flattering. But not in that way. I was just packing up an ashtray for my cousin Wallace when the door swung open and in walked Trouble. Brunette, as usual.
Mr. Malinowski, I was wondering if you could help me.
She was tall, dark, and beautiful. Long brown hair, knockout red dress, big, floppy shoes, like a clown. She was no ordinary dame, that much I could tell. She shot me a look that would have killed on any street corner. Dead sexy, just like my sister. Certainly, won't you please take a seat, Miss...
Dupre. Mrs. Genevieve Dupre.
Nice to meet you, Mrs. Dupre. The name's Hunter Malinowski, P.I.
I know, I saw it on the door.
Good, that's why it's there. The air was thick with tension, but a worried look told me she had a case.
I need you to watch out for my husband, Orville Dupre.
The Orville Dupre? Owner of Dupre Industries?
Yes.
I had heard of Dupre Industries. Leading manufacturer of tampons and plastic Christmas trees. They'd been in the headlines recently. They'd been buying out all the real Christmas tree sellers. And why should I watch your husband, Mrs. Dupre? Does he have any enemies?
Only one. Lou Vincenzo.
Lou Vincenzo. He's a dangerous man to fall foul of.
Yes, and he has considerable Christmas tree assets up in Canada. He bought Alberta last year and filled it with Christmas trees.
Really? There must be a lot of unhappy people.
No, none at all, actually. Canadians are pushovers.
I see. But it's Christmas. I'm going to Wisconsin to eat fruitcake and see my mother. I'll take it. But there's a small matter of payment.
Well, I don't have very much money myself, but I thought maybe I could pay you some other way.
She leaned over the desk. What are you trying to say, sweetheart?
I mean, I thought that I could reward you personally.
I don't take personal checks. Cash only.
Listen here, big boy, you're not reading me. I'm offering you my body.
No, you listen here, Toots. I don't read between the lines. If you can't offer me money or sex, you're out of here. What have you got for me?
How about a fresh-baked apple brown Betty?
You mean like one of those square pies?
Yes.
Soft, flaky crust. Sweet apple pie filling. A woman leaning over my desk. I couldn't resist. Christmas Eve. And I was watching Mr. Dupre from the alder bushes, a hot chocolate from Annie's downtown steaming in my hand. I heard singing, and went for my gun. But it was just carolers coming up the driveway. It reminded me of my days in the boys' choir, days that made me what I am. I remembered when my dad gave me my first 38 for Christmas. The year before, it had been a fedora. I think he was kind of mapping out my future. Then, a shot rang out. I turned my eyes back to the window, and Orville Dupre was lying in a pool of blood, presumably his own. I ran inside, and found him there, dead. I looked around, but couldn't find Genevieve. She said she was going to be home tonight. I called the police from the kitchen, and in the meantime...
Excuse me, are you the butler here?
Yes.
I'm wondering if you can help me. I'm a private investigator, and I'm trying to figure out what happened here tonight. What did you see?
Well, I don't usually like to give out information like that to anyone but the police, but I might be convinced to let a few things slip.
You've got a nasty cough there. Must be that cold going around. It's been quite a winter.
Well, I have a feeling you've got 50 reasons for me to tell you what's going on.
50? Baby, I've got a million reasons for you to tell me. Now you tell me what you saw.
A million? I don't think we're on the same page, sir.
What?
Just listen to me.
No, you listen to me, Buster. I don't read between the lines. Now what are you trying to say?
Give me money and I'll tell you.
Money? All right. Here, now. Let's have it. What did you see?
Well, I'll tell you what, but I don't think you're going to like it.
I don't care, just tell me.
Well, sir, it was quite dark.
Dark?
Yes, sir. And then someone pushed by me and ran out the back door.
You didn't see who it was?
No, sir. You see, I'm blind.
So I had nothing. I'd let my client die on the first day of the job, and I was feeling crummy. All the spiked eggnog in Chicago couldn't drown my sorrows. Christmas Eve, and I was lower than low. I wandered around the streets, with the snow falling down and the steam billowing out of the street grates, like the breath of the devil. I saw families through frosted windows, sitting there happily, drinking their champagne and listening to Christmas with Bing. I was starting to hate Christmas, no doubt about that. And the apple brown Betty was long since digested. It wasn't until I hit the corner of 5th and Main that I finally got a little piece of that Christmas cheer I'd been hearing about. It was Speckins, the squeegee kid.
Please, sir, squeegee your windshield for a tuppence.
Get out of here, kid, before I kick you with the nuts. And two things. This isn't England, and I'm not driving a car.
Please, sir, it's Christmas.
It ain't Christmas, kid. It's Christmas Eve.
No, sir, it is Christmas. Look at the town clock.
I looked up.
It was 12 o'clock, Christmas Day, and I had nothing. I was standing on a windy street corner as a homeless kid raked a squeegee across my back. But it was Christmas, so I handed him a dollar and waited for it to be over.
All right, kid, go to town.
Great. Now that I've got this, I can buy a Genevieve Dupre imitation Christmas tree for my 9 children.
Wait a minute. Genevieve Dupre? You mean Orville Dupre Christmas tree?
No. Now that old man Dupre is dead, she's heir to the entire fortune.
Then it hit me like a ton of bricks. Ouch.
Sorry, Mac.
It served me right for standing unprotected under a construction site.
I hurried back to my office. Leaning back in that cracked old leather chair, I reflected on this rather unusual case. All along, I was sure that it was Lou Vincenzo. He had the perfect motive. I thought for sure that he would be the one who stood to gain the most, losing his main competition as he did. But where did Genevieve figure into this? Then, it all added up. She didn't want me to look after her husband. She just wanted a sap to give her an alibi. She must have hired those carolers to distract me. No one carols anymore. This isn't the 1940s. Then... Genevieve, what are you doing?
Well, no one should have to spend Christmas morning alone.
No, I meant, what are you doing with that machine gun in your hands?
Oh, yes. I've come to murder you. You figured it all out.
How did you know?
I've been listening to 92.5 FM, The Fox. All your thoughts have been going out over the radio.
Damn! It was a scary thought. Somewhere up in frozen Canada, two squirrely freshmen were watching my every move.
Now, I'm afraid you'll have to die now, Mr. Malinowski.
Now listen, you don't have to do this. We've had some good times. Shared an apple brown Betty.
Then, the phone rang.
I have to take this. Hello?
Reginald Hunter Malinowski, it's your mother. You didn't show up. I've been waiting for you here in Wisconsin, and you're not here. Your cousin Wallace is drunk on the roof,
and
I'm not going after him again. And your father is passed out on the floor, and I need garlic salt for the gravy, so be sure to pick some up on the way. You said, horse, have you been smoking? And did you get your cousin Wallace that ashtray? He's been snubbing it out on the cat.
Yes, Mom, I got him the ashtray. I'm looking at it right now.
Okay. You shouldn't be smoking. You know, it's unhealthy.
Mom, I'm sorry. This is not a good time. I'm being murdered. See you at New Year's, maybe. All right, let's get this over with. Merry Christmas, Genevieve. I just have to ask you something. Would you really have slept with me?
No.
I pulled out my gun and shot her.
I wasn't dead, not by a long shot. I pulled the dented ashtray out of my shirt and dropped it to the floor. The gun smoked in my right hand. Thank God for Cousin Wallace's terrible nicotine habits.
So that was it. The day I almost lost a case. When I filed it away, I named it Murder Under the Mistletoe. So what happened from there? I told the whole story to the police and got a medal from City Hall. The next Christmas, every house in Chicago had a real Christmas tree. The snooty blind butler got a job as a bus driver for Chicago Park Elementary. And Speckins, he froze to death in the street. Well, that's Christmas for you.
Excuse me, I have a case for you.
Sorry, lady, it's Christmas. I've got to go visit my mother in Wisconsin. Merry Christmas, everybody.